Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
I'm doing it the best I can.
Yeah, see, I really wish I knew that one because I don't.
That's it's weird. Like, my encyclopedic knowledge of TV theme songs came up yesterday, and it was one of those like really stupid things where, you know, people are sitting around a fire with a guy's got an acoustic guitar and he's like playing all this music, and like then they start throwing out TV theme songs, and the guy who's doing it is kind of like Shiny McShine of the movie Shine, where he could just play anything on the guitar. And so we were trying to stump him with TV theme songs, and then someone shouted out Just the 10 of Us, and both me and him were stumped. And so we had to look it up on YouTube, and that's the only part I can really remember from it.
Yeah,
But I remembered that part of the theme song.
It's weird, because I know tons and tons of shows from... I mean, obviously, I know all the shows around that show.
Yeah.
But I've never heard of that show before. I mean, that's weird.
Well, listeners, if you were a fan of the Lubbock Girls in the show Just the 10 of Us, chime in on the Facebook page.
You're probably alone.
You're probably very alone. Remembering Coach Lubbock and his multiple daughters that he was constantly having troubles
with.
Yeah,
and I even know, like, Wait Till Your Father Gets Home, and that's, like, pretty obscure.
The only reason I really remember Just the 10 of Us is because two of the four daughters that were in the Lubbock Girls were actually in the Nightmare on Elm Street TV series and movie series. So, just a little bit.
I was
going to
say, there was no Nightmare on Elm Street TV series.
No, but there was a Friday the 13th.
There was a Friday the 13th one.
Yeah, that wasn't that good.
It had nothing to do with Jason Voorhees.
Which was sad.
It was just like another one of those Tales from the Crypt.
Yeah, it was like an anthology series, wasn't
it? Like, I think the best one of them, not counting Outer Limits and Twilight Zone, because those are obviously the originals, but...
the originals?
Right. You can't really touch the originals, but... I think Tales from the Dark Side was the best of the anthology
shows. Yeah, that was
a
pretty good one. Yeah.
It was pretty sweet. I mean, Tales from the Crypt was good, but Tales from the Crypt was on HBO, so it kind of cheats because they could show boobies.
Yeah. Well, speaking of horror, I might actually have a guy who's going to be selling me an original Realm of Terror box set, D&D, second edition. Oh. That's the Ravenloft, the core set, so I'm kind of excited about that. I'm just going to get all the Ravenloft supplements and make you play Ravenloft.
Of AD&D 2nd Edition?
Yeah.
How much is he charging you?
It's not that much. It's only like 10 bucks or something like that.
Yeah, because you should definitely check Noble Knight first.
Yeah.
Because they have
thing is that when I'm collecting, and I know you don't understand the collecting thing because you don't have that gene in you, but when I'm collecting, I don't like to do the online stuff too much.
I like to go for the best price.
Yeah, I like the search. Like, if I can find it in the store, I'm like, ooh, all the better.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think eBay's cheating a little bit.
I like to go looking in stores, like half-price books. I'll go and look there.
Oh, yeah.
But beyond that, I don't really... I never try and look for... Because every time I look for something specifically, I'm always blown out.
Yeah.
Just always. You can't do it.
Well, I mean, it's different with minis because there's not many places besides, like, Titan Games and Chicagoland where you can actually buy used minis.
Oh, well, the one thing I actually do collect is RPG books.
Yeah.
Like, that's the one thing I collect is RPG books and supplements. And I still never go out and make special trips because I'm always looking for something specific. So, like, right now, I'm on the AD&D 2nd Edition kick, and I'm considering... basically selling all of my RPG stuff except for Shadows of Asterion.
Yeah.
And then having AD&D 2nd Edition and just collecting the entire gamut of 2nd Edition.
From what I heard here, well, before we get into that, welcome to Game Classy. Ha ha ha. Joe makes a joke. Steve makes a joke. Dicks, butts, so on and so forth.
We all die a little inside.
We all die a little inside. All right, now back to the D&D stuff. I've heard rumor. I don't know if it's rumor anymore. It might be confirmed. You could tell me that...
That doesn't sound like snapping at all. That just sounds really terrifying.
I can't really snap. My fingers don't work that well.
Like this. Yeah. There you go.
I was going to say TSR, but Wizards, when they're...
I believe they don't exist anymore.
No, they do not.
It's like SSI.
We're an SSI game.
Yeah. But they're going to be putting out, I think, either Greyhawk or Forgotten Realms. They're going to be re-releasing the second ed D&D.
Oh, that's sweet. I haven't heard that yet.
I've heard something similar to that effect. I don't know if it's either second ed or...
I'm sure there'll be more second edition books because they've released Against the Slave Lords, the classic module for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons, and Unearthed Arcana for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons, and I think Tome of Magic for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons.
And Tome of Magic, yes.
There's a, yeah, there's a... I mean, and that's... That's old fucking reprints. Like, yeah. That's early 80s.
Yeah, I actually, in one of my little trips, because I'm off work right now for the summer, so I've been taking some, like, wild trips around Chicagoland looking for stuff. One of my trips took me, and I found a, I think it's Forgotten Realms historical book on the Horde of Genghis Khan for AD&D 2nd edition. I'm kind of excited about it. I don't know why. I paid, like, $1.99 for it, and I'm like, this is fun. You get your little horse guy, your little skeleton horse guy.
Yeah, he's a Morgul knight.
How many points is this army you got? He's got his Kings of War army out here.
I have a lot. I don't know. It's very big.
I finished my 1,000 points. So nice. If you would like to battle at some point for 1,000 points,
my movement trace should be here soon. So I'll be
movement trace. Go. All of my stuff is just glued together.
Oh, I'm going to be gluing them into the movement trace.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just need something to stabilize them.
Just get some balsa wood, some pink foam.
I want to do it nice, not badly.
Then why'd you paint them like that? Oh, sick burn.
That wasn't really a sick burn at all.
Sick burn. All right, let's get into some gaming news.
That would only be a sick burn if A, I cared about your opinion on my painted models, or B, I cared about your opinion on my painted models. The answer to A and B is I don't.
Did you buy anything during the big 4th of July sales going on? So many websites had
bought
much stuff.
Nothing.
I bought some Dystopian Legion stuff. I rounded it out. I finished. I paid it. I think I bought $1.50 worth of stuff.
That's very sad.
Hey, whatever. It's so nice. It's so good. But the nice thing about it is, and I know you'll yell at me, but the Dystopian Legion stuff that I bought actually ended up being, I think I figured it out, it being about 1,000 points worth of an Imperial Guard army. So 150 for 1,000 points worth of Imperial Guard stuff, including tanks and chimeras and stuff like that. I don't think that's such a bad deal.
I mean, but you're never going to use it.
Not as Imperial Guard, no.
You're never going to use it in Dystopian Legions either.
I will. And I will use it. I think I'm going to use it again. I think they're doing some Dystopian Legion stuff at Gen Con this year. I'm going to bring it and play.
Well, all right then.
Yes. I actually am free this Gen Con. I don't have to... I love bringing my wife with me to Indianapolis, but this is the first year I get to go solo, so I'm kind of excited about this.
Flying solo.
Oh, yeah. I mean, because, you know, when you bring your respective other to Gen Con, you got to drag them along. You know, you have to go out to eat where, you know, somewhere nice, you know, spend some time with them. No, this is all gaming all the time now.
That's not necessarily accurate, because I've seen plenty of couples that are just gaming together.
Yeah. I mean, like... I like to keep my gaming life and my married life in two separate realms.
Forgotten realms.
big forgotten realm right there. Well, I mean, like, because, look, I have a gaming podcast. I go to gaming stores. I hang out with gaming people. I go to a game night. I don't want to go home and have that at home. I want two separate worlds. I don't want my worlds colliding. To quote Seinfeld.
You're killing Independent Joe.
You're killing Independent Joe. If I walked home and my wife said, hey, have you seen the new Dark Eldar release? I'd probably scream and then punch the wall. Walk out. Dark Eldar's for noobs.
That's humorous. For noobs. Who uses the term noobs?
Me.
15-year-olds in Call of Duty. That's who uses noobs.
What should I be saying?
Dumbass.
Grey Knights are for neckbeards.
Yeah, that would be fine.
Yeah, Grey Knight. Neckbeards don't play Grey Knights. Neckbeards play Eldar.
No, neckbeards play Imperial Guard.
Yeah, that's true.
They play Imperial Guard so they can have all their tanks.
All the tanks. Like,
my codex was written by Crudus. It's terrible. just like everything Crudus touches.
My codex was written 7 years ago.
He's the fucking ace of crud, man. Crud ace.
Whatever. But the I get to go solo, so I'm planning on playing some little Dystopian Legions. I'm not gonna do I'm not gonna be doing too many painting competitions this year, just because I got so burned by Reaper last year.
And before I got cut off, I was saying I'm looking forward to seeing you destroyed in absolutely everything you participate in.
Well, with Dystopian Legions, it's gonna be more than likely me learning how to play rather than anything.
It's gonna be awesome. Your opponent's you're gonna set up. You're gonna be like, all right, I'm ready to play my first game. And your opponent's gonna be like, ugh. You don't know the rules. Come on. You're supposed to come to the tournament prepared. I bet you don't even know how much damage your Japanese blaster can do.
All right. I'm done with this. I'm going to go play werewolf. By the way.
Yeah, go sit in the fucking stink circle.
By the way. They're doing... Vampire the Masquerade at Kickstarter.
Did you like that?
Okay. To those who do not know, in the Chicagoland area, the western suburbs used to be the hot spot for playing Vampire the Masquerade.
The LARP, the Mind's Eye Theater.
Yeah, the Mind's Eye Theater.
This is not talking about the tabletop game. Game was popular everywhere.
Wasn't that just Vampire? Wasn't Vampire the Masquerade only the...
So it's Vampire the Masquerade, both.
Yeah.
One is Vampire the Masquerade, Mind's Eye Theater.
Yeah, okay.
I actually believe it might not even be called Vampire the Masquerade. It might just be called Mind's Eye Theater Vampire.
Blah.
Because they had one for Mage and every one of the tabletop games had a Mind's Eye Theater companion.
Yeah,
which was for doing the LARP.
It was huge out here.
Oh, gigantic.
I think it was centered around College of DuPage. I'm not 100% sure.
There was Lilacia Park first.
Okay.
Then there was COD when they got kicked out of Lilacia Park.
Okay. Because I know they...
The entire reason that there's the Lombard auto... They have that like auto night thing on Fridays or Saturdays.
Yeah.
Cruise nights. The entirety of Cruise Nights was brought about because the lady hated the vampire LARPers.
All right, you're out again, so I'm just going to put this on input. I'll have to figure out a new mic.
Okay. So, we're taking the mic out?
Yeah.
Ah, I see.
Yeah, so I just put it on there.
Okay,
so it's not going to sound as good, but whatever.
Right. Okay, so the entirety of... Cruise Nights.
Yes.
Exists because the lady who organized Cruise Nights... hated the vampire LARPers. So she assumed if she had set up Cruise Nights, that vampire LARPers would go away.
Yeah.
Because they wouldn't want to be exposed to Cruise Nights. But all that did was put a bunch of vampire LARPers around Cruise Nights.
You know, and it was... Naperville had the Riverwalk, which
was... Yep, the Riverwalk had it too.
They blanketed the Riverwalk with their LARPing.
Yep.
And it became such a joke in the Midwest gaming community and in the Chicagoland gaming community, the vampire LARPers. Not that there's anything wrong with your game. You game the way you want to game. You embrace your game. But people will make fun of you for it.
People make fun of you for any game.
Yeah,
if
really.
You play any game, even poker players get made fun of.
Oh, they're the worst.
Not that much, though. Not as much as
they're others. The fucking worst.
Because they're getting a lot more, a lot less people are making fun of poker players because poker prize pools are becoming millions of dollars. It's kind of to be like, oh, what an idiot. He just won, $6 million. Can't really make fun of that guy anymore.
They're all D-bags. But Yeah.
Way to alienate that one guy who's a professional poker player who might have possibly listened to our cast one day.
You know what? We could never tell from his facial expression how he feels either way.
You'd never see past his shades.
No, we wouldn't. Or his visor.
Yeah, dude, he'd look
too cool. His visor.
He'd look way too cool.
but yeah, the vampire mask. So I guess they're doing it on Kickstarter now?
Yeah.
I know White Wolf...
imploded?
Yeah, just like... magnificently failed.
I mean, it's still around, but it's like they basically went all digital.
I know they did Gehenna, and that was like a big thing, but then that alienated a lot of their players.
Okay,
and then,
here's what happened.
Okay, so right. I don't think we've talked about White Wolf on this podcast too much. So I think this will be helpful.
World of Darkness, White Wolf was kind of the creme de la creme of the 90s angst. And the 90s angst you could see in comics like X-Men, the X-Men cartoon show.
X-Men, X-Force.
Yeah, well, whatever.
All Image Comics.
Image, yeah, the entirety of Image Comics was based on 90s.
Let's put it this way. How about this? Let's say this. D&D was the Marvel DC. White Wolf was Image.
Okay.
It was fancy. Kids loved it. Didn't have a lot of substance.
Sure. I mean, well, it mostly just captured the zeitgeist of the 90s, which was being an angsty teen.
Having pouches.
Right. Whatever. Just the angstiness. that's what I'm trying to get across.
Yeah, here. I get the angstiness. I got you.
So, but it came and it was a smash. Vampire, huge. Werewolf, huge. All the games are jammed.
And even the smaller games like I know Changeling and Mage had their followings.
Yeah, they all did. Everyone, Mummy, that was one too.
Mummy's alive.
Pretty much. That's actually kind of the exact storyline of the Mummy role-playing game from White Wolf was pretty much Mummy's alive. Pretty much the fucking thing. So they got big, like really big, like crushing D&D big. And then, you know, lots of people were playing it. And, you know, that was kind of past my formative years in role-playing because I was RPGing when I was probably too young to be RPGing. Not because I think that... Actually, fuck it. You can't be too young to RPG.
No, you're never too young to RPG.
Yeah, that was just... I guess I was too young to understand the rules.
Yeah.
So there's that. But no, I mean, because I think... I was doing, like, Rifts and shit. Oh, yeah, it was kind of weird, because, like, I did D&D, then Rifts, and then I did Vampire. And it was, like, that's the order. It was, like,
I mean, I played a game or two of Werewolf back in the day. Never did the LARPing. Never did the Mind's Eye Theater.
A White Wolf game.
Everybody's played a White Wolf game.
Most gamers our age have played a White Wolf game.
Yeah.
Most RPGers
our age have played a White Wolf game.
Yes, there you go. Actually, I use the term gamers. I shouldn't have done that. I hate the fucking term gamers. But, yeah, most RPG players our age have played a White Wolf game here and there. But anyway, so it came out just gigantic. And they kept adding more source books for everything. So Vampire had a source book for every single clan of vampires. And then the Lost Clan of Vampires, which weren't mentioned at all. And they just came out in source books. And then there was the Hunter stuff. And there was just so many more games and so many books. And basically... they wanted to do a new edition of their game.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, that game had a progressive storyline.
Yeah.
Because there were storyline books, like Chicago by Night. And Chicago by Night, there were no real rules in it. It was mostly just a what is happening in Chicago for these X years.
Yeah, and they would have the basically, it was just a storybook of what it was. This is what is going on in the world of White Wolf.
In Chicago. Yeah,
in Chicago.
And the storyline was progressive. So, and I think, I'm not 100%, but I think they had story events where the players could shape the story a little bit.
Yeah, like...
I think the card game did
it. They did. That was a big thing in the 90s and early 2000s were those type of events. Because I know AEG did that with Clan War all the time. Or Legend of the Five Rings.
I think they did the same thing with where Vampire, the card game. Because Venture won. So like then Venture became the prince of blah, blah, whatever.
Blah, blah, blah.
So they had a progressive storyline. But every one of the books talked about their end of days. So werewolves was the apocalypse. Gehenna was the vampire's Armageddon. Yeah. And like they all had their own. And then, so towards like 2000 something.
It was 2003 because it was 2004 because I was working at GW at the time when the books came out.
So
and I remember talking to some of the guys who were really into the LARPing.
So
stuff.
What they did, they were like, we're actually going to do Gehenna. We're going to do the apocalypse. And they did books that was the end of the world.
Yeah.
Where they completed all of these prophesied storylines, so on and so forth. Which, I mean, was kind of cool.
Yeah. But here's the problem with that, is that everyone was like, well, done with that.
Yeah, but because they ended the game.
Yeah.
And then they came out with books later, which was the New World of Darkness, which is basically a new edition.
Yeah.
Now, they also reset the storyline. So it's completely different. They changed... lots of the vampire clans. I know they pretty much killed their fan base when they did it. They just butchered their fan base. If you ever want to know how to lose a fan base, that's how you do it. You kill your game world and print new books that are not compatible with the old ones at all. And wreck the storyline. You know, they basically tried to do a D&D, but the problem was their game was not built on the structure of D&D.
Well, and D&D is a very abstract game system. It's fantasy fighting. If you do a new edition of it, there's no storyline that just goes away.
Right. I mean, and the parts of D&D that did have storyline, they endure.
Yeah. You know,
they still make Forgotten Realms. Right now. The Forgotten Realms books are still being printed.
Yeah. Dragonlance is still Dragonlance.
Right. It doesn't matter if the edition changes. You can still use your Dragonlance stuff. And, like, the transition between Advanced and 82nd wasn't too bad, but it required a little bit of gumption and work to do. But you could do it. And you can convert everything from any edition to any edition if you're willing to do the work. And a lot of places have just done it for you. Like a lot of the Osric stuff, you could just be like, well, I want to use this new stuff. And they're like, here's how to use the new stuff in the old edition. The superior old edition.
The superior intellect.
That's a superior old edition. The problem I have with the newer edition, I figured it out. I finally figured it out. I can give a concise reason of why I don't like 3.5, Pathfinder, 4th. They're miniatures games.
Yeah.
They are miniatures
games. 3 and 3.5 are not total miniatures games. 3.5 is a little more miniature.
You've not played enough 3 and 3.5. They're miniatures games. They're actually just miniatures games. Because it's just Pathfinder. Pathfinder is the same thing. And they're all miniatures games. That's the problem I have with them. There's no way... like, abstracting the combat just doesn't really work. You can, but it's... you can clearly tell the system is designed to sell miniatures. Because it's like there's flanking. There's so many rules that... specifically require miniatures to be used. And now I like miniatures. I think they're a great complement to your role-playing game, but I don't want a miniatures battle game for my combat. I want a role-playing game.
Yeah. By the way, I'm surprised it took us this long to find the Vampire the Masquerade thing and us to talk about this, because apparently there's only like 3 days left. It's going to be funded on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And it's like already made like $180,000, you know, $180,000.
I completely missed it. I did not see it. I didn't see anyone talking about it, but apparently it was enough to still get funded.
Here's the weird thing for me, okay? Now, you can tell me how you feel.
Is the weird thing Mulatto Butts?
What?
Mulatto Butts.
What's Mulatto? I don't want to know what Mulatto Butts
is. Mulatto Butts is Archer's ring, Sterling Archer's ringtone.
Oh. No, it's... The weird thing is that, okay, so I said there's like $180,000... dollars already made, and only 1,500 backers. So that means that every person who donated a medium amount of $100 to do this. So, because that's not a lot of people. 1,500 people is not a lot of people to fund this. But that's a lot of money for 1,500 people.
Dude, the people who like LARP, they fucking like LARP.
That's the one part of our hobby in our community that I could just never really get into. The non-dark part of our hobby. Because there are some dark, seedy parts of our hobby that I won't get into
There's a few things I think are... All right, so there's a couple different LARP styles out there. Yeah. The one I like the most is the fantasy, but no rules. Because there's a fantasy one where, like, you hit someone, and you have to say, like, seven fire, and you have to, like, memorize how many hit points you have and stuff. That seems like a pain in the ass, and just it seems like there would just be rampant cheating.
Yeah.
Everywhere. The one I do
like... If there's one thing we know Steve doesn't like in his LARPing, it's rampant cheating.
I don't like rampant cheating in games.
Yes.
There's another one that's the same style as that, but it uses the, like, historical reenactment rules, I guess. So if you whack someone in the arm, their arm is defeated.
Yeah.
Their other arm is defeated. If you're a mage...
I think that's... Isn't that the Nero style?
I think that's Nero style. No, Nero's the one where you yell out...
Okay, Nero's... Numbers, okay.
And then, like, a mage throws a beanbag at you.
But two damage!
Right, yeah. Lightning bolt! But in this one, if he throws the beanbag at you and he hits you, you go down.
Yeah.
Like, you've been killed.
It's like, oh, I'm on fire!
Yeah, exactly. You're like, I'm burning!
You know,
that's cool. I mean, the idea of walking around in period costume, like, you know, kind of doing... It's like half Renaissance fair, half combat.
Yeah.
That seems fun. And then, as far as, like, the vampire RPG stuff... It was pretty fucking awesome when I was, like, 15 to 18.
Oh, yeah.
That's when it was super sweet.
Because you were also all dressed up like Silent Bob and
sitting there. This is true.
Drinking your energy drinks, which were new on the market back then.
I don't think energy drinks existed at that time.
Well, I mean, I'm thinking 2002, 2003.
Like I said, 15 to 18.
Yeah, that was a while ago.
Actually, I think it was actually more like... 13 to 16 is when I was playing the most.
Yikes.
I was very wee.
I'm the type of guy, you know, I wouldn't mind dressing up. I don't mind doing the combat stuff. But it's just like, there's always just a part of me that just goes, I can't believe I've fallen this far. So this is where I've come to.
I think the problem, well, not the problem, the thing I would be interested in nowadays is stuff like True Dungeon.
Yeah.
You know, that's cool. I'd like to, you know, if there was a group that was running True Dungeon style stuff every month, maybe... That would be really sweet.
Yeah.
You know, that seems like the way to, like, take LARPing, make it not as silly.
I don't think you could ever make it not as silly.
Well, I didn't mean silly as in, like, an outside perspective, you know, way. I just meant as silly as in, like, I'm running at you screaming, seven.
I mean, because I think I've talked about it on the podcast before, but the documentary Dark On. I don't know if you've seen it.
I watched that, yeah.
It's actually a very, very good documentary.
Yeah, there's another one called We Fight Monsters or We Are Monsters. I think it's also about Darkon. It might be about Nero.
Might be about Nero. But the Darkon one, I really was impressed with. I was like, these guys, they're obviously way into this, but it's an honest portrayal of this. And that's their hobby. You know, I sit there in my basement and I paint little figurines. I mean, I should not judge another person. But, you know, there you go. I'll sit around a table till 5 o'clock in the morning discussing whether or not I could defeat that green slime.
I shall not pass judgment on other gamers.
Yeah.
Except for Games Workshop players.
Speaking of, you want to get into a little Games Workshop news? As long as we'll get off this
subject. Apocalypse!
You know what? You might make fun of it. And I know a lot of people on our Facebook page make fun of it. But I was actually doing some serious research on it because I wanted to learn a little bit about it without actually having to buy Apocalypse because it's ridiculously expensive.
Yeah, absurd.
right now the community, like before it was coming out, 30% of gamers said that they would not buy it, of GW players. I'm saying like people who were going to GW communities. And I think this was done through Battle of Lost Souls, I think did this. 30% said they would not buy it at all, 30% said they would absolutely buy it, and 30% said they would wait to see it come out. That's a 30% automatic buy, which I thought was... I think it's a pretty fair assessment of that. Right now, it's...
I'm going to throw out a big caveat here. You've got to figure, only two armies got anything new.
New, yeah. That's
the
sad thing.
You got the Chaos fucking Tonka, the talking truck, and then you've got... the Necron Obelisk / Tesseract.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, yeah, and, you know, a couple things...
If you play Eldar, if you play Guard,
Guard already have super heavies, though.
But and they have available. I'm talking about new stuff. If you play Orcs, if you play Guard, if you play...
plus the Eldar...
regular Space Marines, if you play Tau, if you play any fucking army that isn't Necrons or Chaos, you got the shaft, I guess.
But that's not... In my research, at least, it's... people are actually talking about it. They say it's really good. I mean, it's got, I think on a Board Game Geek, I just looked at it this morning. It was at 6.75, which still, no, it was a 7.64, sorry, which is not, that's actually a pretty, like, if we're doing Rotten Tomatoes wise, that's a pretty fresh rating.
Still $75 for the rule book.
Yeah. I mean, it's
$25, you have to rebuy. My favorite touch was you have to rebuy the templates because the old Apocalypse templates don't work.
Yeah, that was kind of BS. I mean, it's not something that I would ever buy. Even if I played 40K, I would never buy it.
That's the other thing. I was talking about this with someone not too long ago, and I was talking about how like chumpish Games Workshop players are because they will buy stuff that's not usable in the game.
Yeah,
like that's a total chump move. Because like if you're gonna play 40K and like we meet at the store. And you're like, mm-hmm. let's play 40K. And I'm like, okay, sure. I've got my guard army. Let's battle. And you're like, you pull out a Titan. I'm like, what are you doing? You can't use that. And then you're like, but I've got the Apocalypse rules. And I'm like, that's cool.
That's a different game. Apocalypse yeah. Apocalypse is a different game from 40K. It's a game that uses 40K mechanics, but it's set up completely differently in the way that you play.
I do not see the appeal of like filling the table with models and then just taking them off in droves.
Not for 40K. I would not play it for 40K. I love doing that with fantasy. I've played 12,000 point mega battles with just my stuff.
That seems like the worst.
It's frustrating, but it's fun. I like that. I mean, I like...
How can it be both frustrating and fun?
Because some things can be fun and frustrating at the same time. The frustrating part about it is it is a huge amount of time, and that when you do lose or you lose... a big failure happens, you do feel like crushed. Like, oh my god, I've spent all this time doing this and I'm about to lose this game. But then afterwards, when you go over it, you do have a lot of fun memories of it. And as long as you're playing against someone who, you know, you're having fun with, or, you know, like I played with some people who I just happen to know. I I'm very select with who I play these games with. But I can, like, joke with them later about it, you know, like, oh, remember when this happened? Remember when that happened?
Yeah, I played a big game once, and it was just the most miserable experience I've ever had.
Did you play against someone you knew?
Yeah. It was absolutely terrible. Like, both of us were just like, we actually were just like, let's stop playing. It's like, yeah, let's. It was awful.
Yeah, I've had nothing but good experiences with the big... But for 40K, you know... I don't know enough of the 6-ed rules to make
it. The big giant games, it's like, this is shit. Why don't we just play Warmaster?
Yeah.
If we want to play an army where you have.
No, Warmaster mega battles are fucking badass.
Right. Because that is a good. And you could use, like, King's War would be the same. Because it's fast, simple.
Yeah, it's.
Take the regiments off, or Hordes of the Things, or.
Well, Hordes of the Things is kind of hard to have a big, big battle, but.
Yeah, I never played Hordes of the Things. I just assumed it was a good, like, mass combat system.
It's very mass combat, and you can manipulate it so that it is bigger. I don't know how well it scales up, but.
Okay, because King scales very well.
Yeah, I would imagine Kings of War scales fairly well. As I said, Apocalypse, you have to be a very specific type of gamer to play Apocalypse. Now, you can say what you want. I think that the Necron thing is really cool.
I just said that.
Oh, did you? I tend to tune you out sometimes when you talk about Games Workshop. Hey,
I will give credit where credit is due.
Yeah.
The fucking obelisk thing. Tesseract/ obelisk is cool. It's definitely not a fucking $160 cool.
No,
but it's definitely cool.
And the... I like that the
trucker, the talking truck bot,
the talking truck bot is it's a scaled up version of what existed in Epic. I
but
like
it looks
that.
So bad. The Epic one looks fine. If they just made a bigger version of the Epic one, it would have been okay.
Here's my problem with it. It doesn't fit in with the current look of Chaos models that they're doing.
What you mean, like the fucking dragon spaceship?
Yeah, it doesn't fit in.
I believe the current look you're thinking of is awful. Fucking right. Terrible.
Yeah, I mean, Apocalypse, if you have a shit ton of 40K stuff at home, if you're one of those people who've been playing since 1996, like a lot of players have been, like me and you used to be, until we sold all of our 40K stuff.
But see, I never grew an army that big.
I never had one single army that was that big. But I know people that are like that. Our good friend of the podcast, Dave, he has a massive guard army. Massive. And when I say massive, it's a massive Vestroian army, so it's all metal. You know, and you go to the bunker and there's like the Lacomies who have hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of Titans. You know, that's what Apocalypse is designed. Those are the people that should be playing Apocalypse.
Why don't you just play Epic?
Little Timmy should not be playing Apocalypse.
Just
and
play Epic.
If he leaves that store with an Apocalypse book, someone should go in that store and smack the person that sold it to him.
Oh, dude, he's going to leave the store with the Apocalypse book. And Tucker the talking truck bot.
I can't wait to play this on the table. All right, we're going to battle. That's all he puts on there.
And be like, kid, you can't use that. That's against the rules. And he's just going to be destroyed. You're like, oh.
Actually, I don't know if it's against...
Womp, 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 womp.
I don't know if it's against the rules.
It is.
It is.
Totally. It is not, I guess... quote-unquote, tournament legal.
Oh, yeah?
You have to be playing an Apocalypse game, because it's Apocalypse is a subset. It's not the rules of the game.
Because I know, like, that's the reason why they put in that big Eldar Wraith Knight or whatever, is because, and prep for Apocalypse.
No, that thing is completely legit.
Yeah.
You can use it in normal games.
That's weird.
And I assume you need three, because it's $150 new model. I assume three is mandatory.
You need three of the Tonka trucks.
And I wonder if the Ienden $45 or $55 additional codex
that you have to buy online,
that you must buy direct. I wonder if that allows you to use six.
One last bit on the Warhammer Games Workshop stuff. You know, some of our fans were talking pretty vehemently about specialist games. I think we talked about it in passing that Games Workshop is officially passed on all specialist games.
Yeah, they officially canceled them.
Yeah,
officially.
They're just running through the rest of the stock.
And then they're done.
So that means if you have specialist models, hold on to them for dear life, because guess what you're going to be able to pay for them with? College, Porsches, jet planes.
I don't think so.
Dude,
maybe Blood Bowl, but when, like, no one is paying top dollar for Warmaster.
Are you kidding me?
No one is paying top dollar for Warmaster.
Warmaster's $25 a blister now.
Since when?
On eBay, $25 a blister.
That's just some dude with a fucking jacked up price.
No, that's not a buy it now price.
No, when they
canceled the Kislev Warmaster and the Kislev Mordheim, how ridiculous those prices went up.
Well, those are exceptions.
But that's because they were canceled when it was going out. Now
and
that the
canceled,
entire line
it was
is canceled.
Short. You gotta remember, those were not around very long.
Yeah, I mean, they're not. And, like, the Mordheim Averlander figures are $35 a piece.
Yeah, but that's... okay, so you're talking about the stuff that was around for a short while
mm-hmm.
and then was canceled.
Yeah.
This is not... you're not going to ever be paying that much money for an undead Warmaster army.
Probably not. But... I still think...
So, in other words, if you have rare stuff, hold on to your rare stuff, because rare stuff is valuable.
It's still going to go... I think it's going to go up. I think you will see standard $25 to $30 a blister.
You'll
for
be
Warmaster.
Hard-pressed to find a buyer.
And
perfect example, the Epic Tyranids. I bought all those Epic Tyranids for next to nothing.
Nothing, yeah.
And they're old as shit. And they're rare as shit. But I still bought them for next to nothing.
But,
I mean, and I sold them and made a profit on the bay. But... I didn't kill it.
No. But what I'm saying is now that... because you know that, especially with Games Workshop, when they cancel something like that, it's... all of a sudden people start freaking out about it, and they're going to have, like, that initial buy up. So that's what I'm saying is, like, it's going to be worth a lot. And the price probably will go down over time, but initially it's going to be because people are going to be scrambling to get them.
Yeah, I just can't believe it. I don't think there. I don't think there is enough actual interest. And with Blood Bowl, there's so many other companies that are making better than GW figures for Blood Bowl.
But you know people about Blood Bowl. You know, that's the weird thing about Games Workshop is there's two types of people who play Games Workshop. The people who are the purists that you have to have Games Workshop models, and the people who are like
the brainwashed.
I'll use whatever models. I mean, it's not necessarily brainwashed. It's just that it's an aesthetic. It's a choice that they make.
It's brainwashed. If you come over to my house and you're like, you want to play Blood Bowl? And be like, sure, I bought this team from fucking Cyborg.
Impact.
Yeah, I bought this team from Impact. And you're like, oh, well, you're not using Official Games Workshop models. We're not going to play. I would be like, all right, get the fuck out of my house.
I don't think a lot of people would say that they would never play against someone who's doing it. But I think that their own way of doing it is like, if I'm going to have an official orc team, I want to have the official orc team.
Oh, yeah, I guess if you want worse models. If you want worse models for more money, that seems like a good idea. I don't like Blood Bowl. I think Blood Bowl is fucking shit. I hate Blood
Bowl. Let's get on sports games for a second. Because, oh my god,
Chaos Bowl?
Chaos. The fucking... That's Star Wars one?
Oh, the Star Bowl.
That was the worst thing that I had ever seen in my life. Not only was it, like, kitschy design, it was also badly sculpted.
That's figures. Where I need to use the term gamers. Derisively. Fucking gamers.
Because it made its fucking
It was
bowl.
Fucking funded.
And it, the other one is the, not Titanfall. What's the one that does the Indiegogo with the vampire orcs that I like a lot.
That's Titanforge.
Titanforge, okay, good. I didn't want to say it was Titan. I don't remember if it was Titanforge.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Titanforge.
Yeah, Titanforge is doing one now. They're getting. It's a dwarf. It's a steampunk dwarf football team.
Yep.
And I'm just like. When they originally put that out there that they were doing dwarves, I was like, oh, this is going to be kind of cool. Steampunk dwarves, all right. It's been done. Rackham did a really good line like that.
Yeah.
This isn't necessarily original, but I'll see where they go with it. They put out some cool stuff, and then they're like, steampunk, dwarves, football. I'm like, oh, well, fuck this.
And then there was Chaos Ball, the fucking cool mini or not game. Look, okay, sports miniatures games. Fucking stop.
They're Seriously. Not good.
Stop.
There's never been a good one.
Stop. I've heard Dread Ball is good. I've never played it. I probably never will play it.
Yeah.
Because I have absolutely no interest. And I like Mantic. I support them as a company. But I am not buying Dread Ball.
I'm mad.
Because I have no interest in playing rugby ball in space.
No, I have no interest. I've played Blood Bowl before. Blood Bowl's fun.
I hated Blood Bowl.
I know you do. It's too random for you.
I fucking hated it so much.
I had a lot of fun playing it, and I don't like Blood Bowl players. I'll tell you that for sure.
Dude, the best was when they came in for the Chaos Cup and spent $0.
Well, I know you put that. Yeah, you were saying that's absolutely true. You know,
it was good.
Specialist gamers do not spend money because and that's part of the reason. Like when people get all angry that Games Workshop is discontinuing specialist games, you only have to buy 10 figures, and then once you buy that initial 10 figure. Investment, you're not spending any more money on that game.
Specialist games, okay.
And it's part of the reason why these skirmish games come out and then they disappear within 2 or 3 years because people make their initial investment and then that's it. They won't spend any more money because they have what they need.
That's why I was just about to get on to like why specialist games is a bad idea the way they had it structured.
Yeah.
Because you could easily have a specialist games, same exact scenario, but if you have a modern structure to it, it would work fine. Perfect example. A living card game style, like Fantasy Flight's Android Netrunner. You did a specialist game like that. So let's just use the example of Blood Bowl.
Okay.
You have.
I'm interested to see where you're going to go with this.
You have a box set, which is Blood Bowl.
Okay.
For $80. It contains 4 teams.
Okay.
That's got 4 teams. It's got your Skaven, your Empire, whatever. The teams are actually...
Let's say Empire, Orcs, Dwarves, and Elves.
Okay. Sure. You got your teams. So you got your 4 teams, that's it. That's Blood Bowl.
Okay.
Then your release for the quarter, if you're going to do whatever your schedule is, let's say it's every other quarter.
Okay.
So every other quarter, you now come up with the Blood Bowl expansion pack.
Okay.
Which is the Averland Crushers versus the Von Count's Deathmans. which is a fucking, like, Chaos Man versus Vampire Man.
Okay.
Box set. Has the 2 teams.
Okay.
Then the next quarter, you have 2 more teams. And then so on. And you just release box sets that contain the full teams. You're not trying to sell additional figures. You're not trying to sell armies. You are trying to sell a board game. That's what you're doing. You're selling a board miniatures game. And if you break down a specialist game as a board miniatures game, it's too late. Obviously,
it's
far too late. It was too late after they released them. But if, like, if they'd have released War Master, and obviously this is probably just something where, like, you know, they didn't really know what they were doing.
No. They were just, like, War Master is a perfect example of, like, this is a really great rule system. This is a really cool idea. We'll do 10mm figures.
Yeah.
And then they're like, what do we do with this now?
Yeah, nobody
after, like, Jervis Johnson and,
The rules are great. War Master's got fun as shit rules. Yeah. But it's just, it's too expensive for the, I think that's the biggest issue too. People are used to playing the small scale games, like 10mm. They're used to paying like Mighty Empire's prices, which is like $30 for your whole fucking army.
Yeah.
Like your entire army for the game is $30.
It's not quite that cheap, but yeah, you could get a decent sized army for about $100.
Wait, did I say Mighty Empire's? I meant Mighty Armies.
No, you're right. It's...
Mighty Armies is actually $30 for an army.
Oh.
I'm not kidding. I'm not exaggerating. There's no...
I was going to say, because, like...
It's actually $30 for a Mighty Armies force.
Because, like, if you... Like, let's say you wanted to play War Master Ancients, which is the exact same rule system. It's just with ancient armies, so every army plays exactly the same. Mm,
sure.
But you... Like, a good one to use is, like, Old Glory 10s. And they cost, like... You buy a pack for $30, and that's, like... a good third of your army, and so you buy like $100 worth, you'll get your army.
Sure, at $100 barely gets you started in Warmaster.
Yeah.
Alright, so if you can take Warmaster the same way, you have your box set, which has four forces in it, all plastic.
Yeah.
And then your box set releases afterwards are just another army.
Yeah, I mean, it's like there's lots of ways that you could do it, and
but that's how you can have a sustainable business model for a game that's like a specialist game, because you can't sell it like a miniatures game because people don't come back for the big sales on it, because it's just not ever going to reach. It's like that's why living card games can exist in the shadow of Magic the Gathering.
Yeah.
And why other card games don't exist anymore. There's no other...
What about Yu-Gi-Oh?
I was just about to get to that. There's no other real collectible card games that aren't involved in some serious gimmick, which is being Pokemon or Yu-Gi-Oh. Those are the gimmick ones.
Yeah.
The Cholo gangsters have to play some game, and they're going to play Yu-Gi-Oh. Hey, like, amusing stat regarding Yu-Gi-Oh, there have been more incidents of gun-related violence and or threats in Yu-Gi-Oh tournaments than almost any other sporting event in the world combined.
Yeah, that's because, like, when in a Magic tournament, you throw one threat at a Magic tournament, the person's like, no! human contact!
That's just pretty funny. Apparently, lots of people like to bring guns to Yu-Gi-Oh tournaments.
Well, if...
And I said sporting event. That's not what I meant at all, because I'm sure rugby and football have been much more violent. Yeah, the real football, not hand egg.
Hand egg?
Yeah, hand egg is American football.
Whatever.
Because they carry a big egg in their hand. There's nothing fucking foot related, and it's not a fucking ball.
Someone's been on Reddit using Reddit arguments.
Nope, hand egg. I've used hand egg long before fucking I knew about Reddit.
Steve, you need to shave a little bit at that. The beard on your neck is...
Whatever, dude. Go back to your footballs.
It's hand egg. I'm so clever.
It's fucking hand egg.
So brave.
I just fucking hate it.
So brave.
Whatever, dude. Stop defending sports. You're a nerd.
I don't care either way about sports.
You like sports and you don't care who knows.
I think your idea of like a living card game model for smaller games could work, because I see a lot of people...
That's all Super Dungeon Explorer is doing.
Yeah. I mean, and they're... that's why I put on the Facebook page, I was like kind of interested in Super Dungeon Explorer, because I'm like, okay, they're doing these expansions for it, and it's starting to look really cool, and it's starting to look like it has a lot of
Vondrex Manor.
Yeah, that looks really cool. Because you know me, I love Ravenloft.
And there's Simon Belmont in there.
Yeah, but he turns into a werewolf in that, for some odd reason. But I'm like, oh, so the
R's... Maybe it's Trevor Belmont then.
They're, what? Oh, jeez.
There's a Belmont that turns into a werewolf, I don't remember which one it is.
But you are right that there is it's being supported, and it looks like you can do that way. While a lot of games that have been on Kickstarter lately, they come out, all their stuff comes out, and then they just disappear because no one wants to play them.
Like, which one? Most of the games haven't even come out.
Yeah, I'm saying is, like, the interest in them wanes significantly, so people aren't going to be buying more into them, especially the skirmish ones.
I mean, here's the thing about a skirmish game, with small exceptions being, like, the long-standing skirmish game, which is pretty much just Dark Age. I mean, there's mercs, but I think if you want to expand your force in mercs, you just buy another force. Mercs is a weird one, because mercs is how I would do a skirmish game if I was going to do one.
Well, mercs is weird, because will mercs survive? Mercs is relatively new. It's only been a year or two out. Yeah. Right.
Well, they just did. They did a smashing Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Their Myth game.
Yeah. Well, Myth is a little different, though.
Well,
Myth,
it's not anything to do with Mercs.
Yeah.
It's a board game, like role playing game.
Well, yeah. I'm not saying that Mercs doesn't have its place. I'm just saying that it's a skirmish game. It's weird how long it's going to survive.
We're talking about business models, and Mercs is a really weird one because Mercs is a skirmish game with virtually no upsells.
Yeah.
Because if you want the Kemvar, you buy this box that says Kemvar on it, and you're done.
Yeah.
And then later on, they'll release a blister for your Kemvar, which has one new Kemvar guy. And there's no points. You use five models. Like, period. You use five models in a game. Like, that's it.
Well, that's what most people seem to do with skirmish games, is they have the skirmish games out, and what's the next logical step? Move it to an army game. I mean, that's kind of what War Machine did. War Machine was initially a skirmish game, turned into an army game.
Yeah.
Infinity. Used to be a skirmish game. It's starting to move more and more towards an army game.
So fucking expensive, dude. I cannot believe, like, if Infinity Forces get to the size of 40k Forces, that game is going, you're going to require the deepest fucking pockets in the world to play that game.
Yeah.
Because I put together a very small, I'd say a modest Infinity Force, and I was looking at it, I'm just like, holy fucking shit, this is like fucking $500. I should probably not do this.
Yeah.
This is a horrible idea.
I mean, and you could go back to as far as like Ragnarok, which, you know, we talked about on the last podcast for Confrontation, which was the same thing. It's that companies can't figure out how to keep skirmish games alive without people. There's two ways to do it.
Dark Age is still around, bro.
Dark Age is relatively new as well. It's only like 2 years old.
Dark Age is 10 years old.
Dark Age is 10 years old.
Dark Age is 10 years old.
And no one plays that.
Dark Age has been around for 10 years.
Jesus.
Dude, a game doesn't stay around for 10 years with no one playing it.
No one ever talks about it. I know you love Dark Age, and I'm not trying to demean your love of Dark Age. But, I mean, you go out there and you talk about Dark Age like it's this force to be right. No one knows anything about Dark Age.
But you know what? A lot of people heard of Dark Age.
Yeah. But yeah, that's like, we know Dark Age, but it's just kind of like we're all just like,
okay. I believe it or not, I have no idea. I have no idea. I think it's like an East Coast, West Coast.
It's got to be because, first of all,
you got to remember where we are. We're in fucking Workshop Central.
Yeah, but I mean, even though we are in Workshop Central, most of the game stores out here don't carry it.
But it's taken a long time for other miniatures games to really show up around here. Because like when I first started playing War Machine, nobody played it.
Yeah.
Nobody around here played it at all. Yeah. Like, there was not a fucking person.
It's weird like that, because I go to Dragstar, the new one that just opened up right near my house. They're not necessarily carrying that, but they got, of course, they got all the Warlord stuff out there. We got to talk about Gates of Antares before the end of this podcast.
Yes, we will. I promised someone I would, so.
Yeah. I mean, they got the standard War Machine, 40K, no fantasy, a lot of board games and stuff like that. And Dust Tactics is actually got a little community going on over there, which is weird because we always talk about no one plays Dust.
I might have had something to do with that.
Anywho,
here's the thing though about
Gates of Antares.
No, about Warhammer. I actually just talked to a dude near Fair Game about. I was like, we were talking about War Machine, and I was talking about. I brought up King's War, and I'm like, do you have a Warhammer army? Because he was talking about how he used to play Workshop, and he went to War Machine and Hordes, as a lot of Workshop players do. And I was like, so do you still have your fantasy army? And he's like, yeah, I have like three fantasy armies just sitting around. And I'm like, you don't play Warhammer anymore at all, dude? And he's like, no. I'm like, you should try Kings of War. Like, you have three Kings of War armies. So I'm trying
Bing
to...
Bong. Have you heard about the Church of Kings of War?
No, I'm trying to get all the people who don't play Warhammer anymore, because there are a fuck ton.
Yeah.
A fuck ton of people I know don't play Warhammer at all anymore. They've completely, like, given up, but they still have their stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna try and get them to come play Kings of War, see if they like it. And
I keep putting it on their page because I got my little 1,000 points. I'm like,
I want to start demoing it.
Yeah, because the only person that ever comments is a friend of the podcast, Kevin, who's like, I'll play. I want to play. Come on, guys, let's play.
Well, I mean, I need to get to the thing is, I want to play. I want to run demos. And the thing is, I think a lot of people have heard of Kings of War, but I don't think a lot of people, especially in our area, know that Kings of War is set up for you to use any models you want.
Yeah, I mean, that's always the problem, is like there's always these great games out there that no one knows anything about.
Yeah, or they don't know Kings of War, I know about the game, it's a mass fantasy army. I don't want to get into a mass fantasy game because I have these Warhammer models that I'm not doing anything with. Because they don't know. Because a lot of people get into the hobby through Workshop, so they get the mentality that's like drilled into you at the workshop store, where it's like, oh, you're playing Warhammer 40,000, but you can only use Warhammer 40,000 miniatures. What are you doing? Not using Warhammer 40,000 miniatures? That's crazy. It's absolutely insane. Well, I mean, why wouldn't you use a Warhammer 40,000 miniature? They're the best toy soldiers in the world. You know, there's that drilled into the kids, and like just like people like they're like, oh, it's got to be this.
Well, that just comes from the fact that the only places that you could play for a good 10 years were workshop stores.
Well, no, before that there were the small indie.
I'm saying last 10 years.
There were the indie stores that had Warhammer and Warhammer 40,000. They built a community, and then the Games Workshop store opened up near them and closed them down.
Yeah, oh, no, I'm not arguing that. I'm just saying it's like for the last 10 years, that's what it's been. And yeah, it's like that's what you got to do with it. All right, so we got like 5-10 minutes left. Let's talk about Gates of Antares real quick.
We should just do a double cast.
Tonight?
I don't even care.
Yeah. By 15 minutes into hour two, we're going to be like, so, dicks, huh?
I don't think it would be that way. So anyway, Beyond the Gates of Antares.
Antares.
The Kickstarter failed miserably.
Which we all said, I would like to go back to the other podcast where we talked about, I'm not going to do it, and splice in where we talked about, like... So, what the hell is this thing all about?
Yeah. They apparently produced a figure.
They produced a figure, which is on Warlord's website.
Yep.
Now, let me put this to you guys really quick. Warlord is the...
Bolt action.
It's the spiritual successor to Warhammer Historicals. They're the people who took up the mantle after Warhammer Historicals closed shop not too long ago. And they put out Hail Caesar, which is their fantasy, their ancients battle. They put out Pike and Shot, which is essentially English Civil War. And they put out Black Powder, which is actually a really, really cool game system. I was going through it. I got the rules, and I didn't buy them. I got them. And I went through them, and I'm like, oh, wow, this game's not bad. It's all Napoleonic. It goes all the way up to, like, you know... you can pretty much play up to American Civil War.
Okay.
Because it's all about rank and file with like the muskets and then charging at each other. So great game to play if you're reenacting the American War of Independence this July 4th weekend.
Oh, man.
Playing for some America. By the way, Steve, only in the cities, the major cities of the United States, do we say America. Everywhere else, it's America.
I see. They say America, but they don't say Murica?
No, we say Murica because we're making fun of them for saying America.
Ah, it all makes sense.
Yes, I learned that.
We put it together.
And they also do bolt action with conjunction with Osprey, who put out the books on the James Franco Prussian War.
Whoever did that, I just appreciate it. Like, I really appreciate that James Franco Prussian War.
Yeah, so I mean, good. Like, we're getting fan art now, and, you know, bunnies sent to us. Creepy bunny heads sent to us, weirdly enough. I don't know how she got your email address. I know your living address. That's kind of scary.
It might be from when I did the... No? I don't know. I don't know.
That's creepy, Steve. It's creepy on multiple levels. So,
well, maybe the Forcellos will show up in my house one day and stab me to death.
And so we have now their attempt to break into the sci-fi minigame through Beyond the Gates of Antares,
which sounds like a horrible idea.
Yeah, you know, it sounds like a horrible idea. But there are people, just like Kings of War, there are people who are looking for mass combat sci-fi games and they don't want to play 40K.
Right, but they're...
Look at you! You would like to play a mass combat science fiction game that's not 40K, that has good rules.
I don't particularly want to play a mass combat sci-fi game.
Yes, you do.
But if I did, I'd play Warpath.
Yeah, I mean, but you're...
I would just play Warpath because it's already there. It's written by Alessio Cavatori. Like,
yeah.
The man's a rules master.
I mean, it's not... Warpath is not really that good rules. What I'm saying is, like, if you could find rules set...
Warpath's being fixed. Yeah. Warpath... alright, so Warpath is pretty much going to go the route of Kings of War. There's going to be a Kickstarter for Warpath, which is going to have the new edition of the rules. It's going to be a shit ton of more models.
I thought they just did that, right?
I think they did Dead Zone. Alright, so here...
Dead Zone's a skirmish game?
Here's the plan. Dead Zone's a skirmish game that uses the factions from Warpath.
Okay.
And they're talking about how like they're kind of they tested the waters with this idea with Dreadball, but with Dead Zone, you have a skirmish game that's like kind of like Necromunda and like those other games, and the rules look really sweet. Looks like a very cool skirmish game, and what they can do with that is they can judge factions, like popularity of factions, like based on their models. You release like the Plague, right?
Yeah,
and people are like, oh, the Plague are so cool. We really really like them, and the Plague sell like the proverbial hotcake.
Yeah.
And then they release, like, the Grunters, and the Grunters are terrible, nobody likes them. People are like, these models are stupid, and we hate you. These models have dumb faces and your butts. So when it comes time to make armies for Warpath, they go, well, let's make sure we get the plague in there, and let's leave the Grunters on the sidelines.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying, and it makes sense. But what I'm saying is that there is room for well-written rules for mass combat sci-fi game.
But it's not the Gates of Antares.
No. Well, there are no rules for Beyond the Gates of Antares.
And I'm going to tell you why it's not Beyond the Gates of Antares, because they want to do a crowd-sourced rule system. Like, that's going to be the biggest clusterfuck of garbage ever.
And we talked about that, where it's like the more money you pay into it, the more say you have on the rules.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's like if we did a lot of money that we said we want dicks with everything, they would have to put dicks with everything. Yeah, they don't have to.
Apparently, that's what it's like. It's going to be like a grassroots raising money so he can get an office to like start his own company.
$500,000.
Pounds. I thought it was pounds.
I think it ended up being $500,000, 250,000 pounds. I don't remember the exactness because I really don't care like looking it up. But there is room for this. I don't think Warlord should go into that realm. I think that they got a really good niche with what they have. If you like historicals, they're kind of a very good route to go. They have their rules will be around for a while. They're going to be supported.
I like their figures.
They're not great, but they're good. They're decent.
I mean, my favorite historicals manufacturer is probably Gripping Beast. Gripping Beast is really cool.
Gripping Beast is nice. I like Artisan. I mean, I'm going to be weird about that and say that my favorite one's Artisan.
Are they the ones who make the Teutonic Knights?
No, that's Fireforge.
Okay, they're cool too.
Yes. I use those for my Kings of War army.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, like, as much as I'll, like, poke fun at historical games, here's another thing, too. I'm generally never talking about sword and shield historical games. Mm-hmm. When I'm talking about historical, I'm talking about World War II.
Oh, you do? I thought you were talking about Napoleonics.
World War II. Well, okay, guns. Anything that has a significant amount of firearms. So, Napoleonic, Revolutionary, World War I, World War II, NAM, you know, any of those. That's what I'm like, nope. But if it's got shields, swords, spears, and chariots...
Yeah, Warlord should just stick with what they're good at, which is historical. They don't have to. You know why? Because they don't have to come up with anything.
Right.
Like, they just have to come up with the rules. They don't have to come up with some fancy faction or whatever. But
that's the thing that I was thinking about. Like, they have good rules already because they make bolt action, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is a great rule set.
Yeah, so why don't you just do a direct fucking port of bolt action and call it Beyond the Gates of Bolt Action?
Beyond the Gates of Bolt Action. And then, action.
Yeah,
action.
You just have a fucking space marine with a giant cigar on the cover just like, argh. But they have a sweet rule set. Like, Bolt Action would work just fine for a sci-fi game.
It's true.
Like,
and you could port it out with different tanks or whatever.
Right. Most miniatures game stuff is just a fresh coat of paint. Like, Warhammer 40,000 and Warhammer are perfect examples of two games that are very, 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 very fucking similar.
Yeah.
With pretty much minor differences.
Well, I mean, one of my... I know this is... We're getting, like, really, really beardy here at the end of this podcast. One of my favorite historical games is actually Warhammer Historical's World War One game. And, yeah, it's good.
Blech. Fucking World War One.
I know. See what I'm saying? But it's... All it is, it's a direct port of... third edition 40K. It's third edition 40K rules, which is, as we know, are decent. It's like more like fourth edition. But the fourth edition rule set, which we know is pretty good. And it's just, you know, Germans, British, you know, French. The tanks are not really overpowered because they're...
One of the biggest problems with the fourth and fifth was vehicles just being retardedly good.
Well, and that's because there's not many of them in World War One, so you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah,
you know,
there's like a tank
in your army. Right. So it's awesome. You could play it that way. It's a very well-produced rule set. It's nice, over the top. You got the Americans and the Russians coming in. It's beautiful. And granted, it's not supported anymore, and the rules are very hard to find, especially over the top, because they didn't produce a lot of them. But then they also did their World War II rules, which I never really got into, because it was like a $60 rule book, and it was massive.
A $60 rule book? That's crazy. Who would spend $60 on a rule book?
But this was like 2008, okay?
Who would spend $60 on a rule book exactly. Under any circumstances?
Yeah, so I mean...
Except for RPG books.
So there you go. It's like, that's where it goes to. And all it is just a fresh coat of paint on the 40K rules, so it's actually a really fun game to play.
Mm.
And I was seriously considering doing a full-on World War One army for that, just so I could have it to play with that rule set if I could find anybody else who would have a World War One army, which doesn't exist.
Unlikely. Yeah, I, like I said, if I wanted to play the sci-fi game, I would play Warpath.
Yeah.
I probably will.
By the way, just really quick on that, when playing Bolt Action, it's very hard for me to pick an army because I look at it, it's like, I don't want to be one of those guys that plays the Germans, okay? Because it's just like, I know those guys.
Dude, play the Polish.
They're their own... Yeah, what, am I going to fold in the first turn?
Dude, you are Polish.
That's what I'm saying.
That's why you play the Polish.
Then you get the...
You've got cavalry. You take those tanks.
I'm
going
to play the Italians. We'll get to the war when we get to the war, okay?
The Italians?
The Itais.
Dude, you should just play your Poles, because you've got, like, swords and shields, and you've got the
cavalry.
You've got cavalry.
It's like, just put my wing, I put my Kislev army on the table.
There you go. You've got the World War II Polish army.
Yeah, you got the Germans. You got those guys. You know, the Nazis. We don't call them Nazis in wargaming, but you got the Nazis. And then you got the Americans, and, you know, in wargaming, there's a lot of...
Proud to be an American!
There's a lot of...
At least I know I'm free!
There's a lot of ex-military Americans who play wargames, and they're all Americans. What are you? We're the Marines!
We stand up next to her and defend yourself today! There's a prayer to be an American! God bless the USA!
America! We got all the ex-military guys who are all like, we play different armies. He's Navy, he's Army,
I'm the Marines!
You know, you got those guys. And then you have, of course, the ex-British guys, the British military guys who are like, we were in the British Home Guard. It's like, isn't that like the equivalent of the Coast Guard? Shut up, boy! Hit you in the head.
See, again, this is all more reason why I think historical games are fucking stupid as shit.
And they all play the British. And the problem is that all of those rules for World War II are written by British people, so the British are amazing in those rules.
Oh, by the way, the Germans didn't win. I don't know if you're aware of this, but the Germans actually lost both World War One. And World War II.
Yeah.
Back-to-back World War losers.
And then,
And obviously, as everyone in the world knows, America 100% responsible for the victories of the Allied forces in World War I and World War II. Hence why every American is issued at birth a hat that says back-to-back World War champs.
It's true. That's in a closet somewhere. It's bronzed.
Well, it's wee for your small baby head.
Yeah, it's very wee. But then you have... And then, so it's the only army that are left. You have the weirdo armies like the Itais and the Poles and the Romanians.
It's stupid.
But then you have the other big one of the big four, at least, is the Russians. And those are always the weird skinny guys who like... You know, or like, I'm going to play the Russians and blah, blah, blah. So I think I'm going to end up actually playing the Russians. But that's... And then you actually have the Japanese, which are coming out, and I just, like, I don't feel comfortable painting Japanese figures, because I don't want to make them look too racist. I'm just saying.
Look, I know you're the kind of scum that would spray them Bad Moon yellow, but you don't need to be that guy.
I'm not going to be that guy. So I'm just saying, I don't want to...
I'd play the Japanese.
Do you? Yeah. Would you play the Japanese? They got some cool tanks, though. They got the little tankettes.
They have the Zero.
I don't think they have them in the rules.
What? There's no planes?
No, I don't think
so. How's there no fucking planes?
Oh, you know what? There are planes in the game.
Yeah, they have the Zero, which is like probably my favorite plane all time.
Yes.
I think the Zero is super cool.
But
I understand that the Mustang came out and it was much, much better than the Zero, but until the Mustang came out, nothing fucking touched the Zero.
But I will say that the Volt... How are we back to Gates and Antares on this whole fucking topic?
I felt both of our neck breeds grow three sizes this day.
So back to that, at least the final word on that is that stop. Just stop.
Please stop.
Please stop. Please stop. Someone come out with a mass combat fantasy system that is going to be fun to play.
Yeah. I mean, if they were clever, they would work with Mantic and create a... combined forces game.
Yeah, I think
Mantic's one of those, like, this is the thing that's always interesting about Mantic, and I think maybe just because they're British and they're not Games Workshop, is like there's so many things on Mantic where like they just kind of cooperated with other companies. Like there's army deals on Mantic where you buy a Mantic army and you get stuff from like Avatars of War.
Yeah, they do great stuff like that. I think the more important thing to do, and I know this goes back to something we were saying with 40K about, you know, like you have to have 40K models to play 40K. I kind of want something like that for fantasy, where it's, you know, something unique and different that makes me want to buy their figures.
But that's not a fantasy game. That's what I forgot to mention the last time you were bringing it up, where you're talking about storyline, blah, 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 blah. You're asking for something that's not possible. Like, there is no such thing as a super innovative mass combat fantasy game with a great story. Because there are elves, there are dwarves, there are goblins, and there are orcs. And there are always going to be elves, dwarves, goblins, and orcs.
The closest that they have right now is what Avatars of War is doing with their multi-part plastic kits. You know, they got the chaos ones, they got a bunch of dwarf ones out right now. That is something that if that was actually a game and they came out with lots more of that stuff, I would get into that game. Because those models are really cool, they're not expensive, and it's very flavorful. Yes, it's dwarves, but...
Yeah, it's generic fantasy. It's no more flavorable than Warhammer. It's no more flavorable than Kings of War.
It looks just as cool as Warhammer, but it's cheaper.
I will give you that. Their models are fantastic.
Yeah, and
just
so...
amazing.
That's what I'm looking for. And if they just put together a background, like... Read Cronopia's background on the dwarves, elves, orcs, and goblins, and humans. It's really cool.
Then I would suggest you getting the Avatars of War dwarf army and using it in Kings of War, because that's a thing.
Yeah, but that's, once again, with Kings of War, it's, I just feel like everything is super similar in Kings of War. It's, I want something that's a little
I think you need to play.
I sure want to, but...
Yes, we will do that. We will make
as long as, I can get more people into it aside from just Kevin.
Dude, we will make it happen.
All right, we will
make it happen. We will play the Kings of War, and you'll see how pretty much wrong you are, which is sweet.
Everything looks identical. So that's about it for this week's podcast. We're already 10 minutes over, so go to KillianArbitrary.com.
I think people are going to really enjoy that we went 10 minutes over.
They always enjoy the extra. So go to PlanetArbitrary.com for all your Planet Arbitrary needs. You could follow me on Twitter at @PlanetArbitrary. You could follow Steve at @GameClassy. Like our Facebook page, /GameClassy. Follow us on iTunes. Subscribe to us on iTunes, for Christ's sake. Game Classy Podcast, all one word. Go on there. Say you like us. Go on Tabletop Gaming News. Say you like us. Make fun of us. Say that you like that we talk about penises a lot. Just, you know, give us the 5 stars. That's all we ask.
Like, comment, subscribe.
Like, comment, subscribe.
That's like a fucking bad YouTube channel. Like, comment, subscribe. You know.
Yeah.
You know. Share. God. Facebook, Twitter. You know.
I know you're talking about those gaming
Friendster.
Groups. I don't know. I wonder if people feel the same way about us when they listen to us, but it's just sometimes I watch like YouTube channels or I listen to other podcasts and I'm just like, how do these guys have so many fucking subscribers?
You know,
did they just get in that early in the podcast game?
I think there's that, and I think there's also like there's no way to actually just manufacture popularity. There's no formula.
There is no formula.
You have no idea what people are going to gravitate to and what people are going to like. Because I mean, I look at something and I'm like, that's the stupidest fucking thing I've ever seen. And look, it's like, oh, they've got 800 million subscribers.
That's the way I look at it. I'm like, God damn it!
This is some dude taking videos of him taking poops every day.
I'd subscribe to that.
It's dailypoop.com, and like that's what he's doing. He's taking a video of him pooping.
Family of Mormons that I watched for like 2 years.
There you go.
Fucking Mormons.
Yeah.
Weirdos.
Maybe if we were Mormons.
You know what? You're right. Maybe if we're maybe it's because we don't have wholesome Mormon values and we drink hot beverages.
You're not
allowed to drink hot beverages if you're a Mormon.
Would you like to hear like to hear the word of War Machine?
No. Would you like to hear the word of Kings of War?
Would you like
to hear the word of Dark Age?
Bing bong.
Actually, I think at this point it's just would you like to hear the word of not Games Workshop?
Yeah. It's
funny. I talked to someone. Here's the thing. Once you're ex-Workshop, apparently, like, you fucking hate Workshop. Like, there's so many people.
I'm ex-Workshop, though.
No, not employee. Once you're done with, like, Workshop, once you pass the game along.
Yeah.
Like, everybody, I was talking to this guy, it's directly related in bitterness to how bad your army was.
Oh, is it?
From what I found. Because, like, most of the guys who I've talked to.
My armies were terrible.
The guys I've talked to who, like, you played Empire. Empire has always been in the middle. It's never been good. It's never been that bad. It's just always in the fucking middle.
Yeah, but I never won.
But it's because you're bad.
That's
true. And you never played the Twink lists.
I'd always play whatever was painted cool.
Right. You didn't play the all canon spam. But regardless, The dude I was talking to was talking about, like, he's like, oh, man, I quit. Like, I was so sick of new armies coming out and being so insane. And, like, my army was just terrible. And blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, what'd you play? And he's like, Beastmen. I'm like, yeah.
Well, there you go.
Sure. And then, like, what'd your friend play? And he's like, oh, Bretonians. It's like, yeah, Bretonians, because they haven't had a new book in 10 years.
Yeah.
That's another thing. I don't know how people can still sit there and still defend it. Like, oh, it's okay that these guys haven't had new books for 10 years.
Because for a lot of people, Steve, it's not all about the game? Is that all about playing? It's sometimes it's about collecting. It's about the fellowship that's gained from other people in the hobby.
Fuck the fellowship. I got no fellowship for nobody.
No, you don't. All right. So, Steve, we're going to give you the final word for today. And what is that final word?
Elendil, Flame of the West, forged from the swords of Narsil.
When does not simply end this podcast?
Game Classy.